Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Chaf Beis. Today we complete Bez Hashem, the first part of Maseches Avodah Zarah, begin the second part. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elishev Neumann, Lizchus Rufo Shleima, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frumit Freida, for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya, and for Dvor Shira Bas Hinda Peril, they should all have a for Shleima Pesach Shar Chalei Yisrael. So we're holding at Tanya, three lines from the bottom of the page on daf Chaf Aleph and Beis. From here till the end of the parak, we're going to discuss partnerships between Jew and non-Jew, and what we do about the Schar Shabbos, about the earnings of Shabbos, what we do about if they are partners in a tree and there's early years of the tree, can we somehow have the Jew get paid for the non-problematic parts and the non-Jew get paid for the problematic parts? And then Be'ez Hashem will begin the second parak, and the Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak is going to tell us about an Isser to leave an animal or a woman or a man alone with an Ovid Chavim, each with different concerns. With a man, we're afraid he's going to murder the man. With a woman, we're afraid that he's going to bewail the woman. With an animal, we're afraid of revia with the animal as well, bestiality. So the Gemara is going to focus on that first one, that apparently we can't trust an Ovid Chavim to be alone with an animal because of revia, but there's a brisa that tells us that you're allowed to purchase an animal from an Ovid Chavim and use it as a karban, but a nirva is possible to use as a karban. So the Gemara is going to have three answers to that question, but only the first answer appears on today's daf. So the entire Amud Beis is going to be dealing with the first answer that the Gemara suggests. When does and when does an Ovid Chavim not engage in Revia? What are his fears going to be from doing it? And, does it depend? Male, female of the animal, male, female of the owner? You know, the various concerns, various issues that might arise in that context. So let's begin three lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Chaf Aleph on Beis Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Melo Yasker Adam Sadeu Lekuti B'Nation Nikreis Al Shemo, that a person should not rent his field to a Kuti, because the Kuti is going to do a malacha on the field and everyone's going to know that this field belongs to a Jew. But the Kuti is also a malacha b'chala shal moed, and the Kuti is going to be doing malacha on chala moed. Aval Ovid Chavim Mai, but what's the din about renting it out to an Ovid Chavim? Shari, that's going to be totally fine. Da Amri Aris Arisusei Avid, because it's true that the Ovid Chavim is going to be doing work on Chol HaMoed, but everyone's going to know that the deal with the Ovid Chavim is that he's an Aris, and as a sharecropper, he's doing his own work, he's doing it for himself. Well, why don't we assume the same thing by a Kuti, that everyone's just going to say he's a sharecropper doing his own work? So the Gemara answers, Arisus Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Lesle. This brisa started with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that a person's not allowed to rent his field to a Kuti because it's Nikreis al Shemo. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds that by Arisus is not a heter. If you look at the top Rashi, Arisus the reason he chose an example of a kuti, which makes one want to be medayek, that if we're an ovid chavim would be mutter, lav taima mishum arisusa, el mishum darminan le lo sasa b'malacha b'shabes v'tzayis. No, arisus would not be a heter. It wouldn't be a heter for a kuti. It wouldn't be a heter for an ovid chavim. Even if everyone's going to say, oh, he's an aris, it's still going to be aser. So why then is there a distinction between a kuti and an ovid chavim? Why is it aser to rent the field out to a kuti, but mutter to rent the field out to an ovid chavim? Because the ovid chavim, if you tell him, please, don't work on Shabbos, he's not going to work on Shabbos. Tell the Kuti when not to work. He's going to say, I know better than you, as the Gemara elaborates right now. El Ovid Chavim, my time of Mutter. Why is it Taka Mutter to rent out the field to an Ovid Chavim? You'll give him instructions when he's permitted to work on the field. When he's not permitted to work on the field, then he'll listen to your instructions. Kuti nami amin levit sayis. Can't we say the same by a kuti? You'll give him instructions when yes, when no, and he'll listen. Says Maranah, kuti lo tzayis. Maranah gamir netfe minach. The kuti holds that he's a holy Jew and that he knows as much as you or more than you. So he's not going to listen. He says, I know better than you. So that's why you can't trust with a kuti. That people say people who work in Kashrus say that that's they often can trust a guy better than they can trust someone who holds that he's from. Even, you know, the Mechal Shabbos, but holds that he knows better, holds that he understands. Because if he thinks that he understands, and he thinks that he can paskin halacha, so then that's going to be a much bigger problem. So that's what's going on here with the difference between Ukuti and Rovid Chavim. Frak the Gemara, Ihachi, Mai Iriam Ne, Shenikre Sal Shemo, typically Mishum Lefnever Lositin Michshel. Well, forget about the idea of Nikre Sal Shemo. If Ukuti is going to be doing the Malacha and Chalamoed, forget about Nikre Sal Shemo. It should be a problem of Lifnei Iver, that here you have a person who's technically a Jew, and you're providing him with a field that he's going to work on Chalamoed. That's Lifnei Iver Lositin Michshel. So says Gemara, yeah, Chadava Ud Ka'amar. We're giving two reasons that it's also Chadav Mishum Lifnei Iver, Vom Mepreshe Nikre Sal Shemo. That one, it's Lifnei Iver, and furthermore, it's Nikre Sal Shemo. Why is it Lifnei Iver? So Rashi writes in the first skinny line, typically the Belocha Shadnami, even if no one's going to be choshed anything, Iko Mishum Lifnei Iver, V'kuti Gerhu. The point over here is that the Kuti has to be a Ger, and that's why it's Lifnei Iver, because Umetzuva Al Mitzvos Ki Yisrael. He's Chayv in Mitzvos just like a regular Jew. V'lo Dami Lo V'chav Mosem Lacha B'Shabbos Shov D'Chav Lo Huzra Leh. That's not like an Ovid Chavim doing Melacha on Shabbos, because an Ovid Chavim is allowed to do Melacha on Shabbos. But a Kuti, we are assuming, has a din of a Jew. That's a machlokas, whether they were Geri Emes or Geri Arayos, but for the purposes of our Gemara, we seem to be assuming that they are Geri Emes, that they have the status of a Jew. Now, Tosos points out that in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, in Dibra Maschel Tepuk, a few lines in, Umikan Yesh Lavi Raya, Lemashe Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, Deshaich Lememer Lifnei Iver, Af Bemidi Das Be Yisurel Drabanan, Taha, Melacha Decholomoed, Eina Asurel Midrabanan, Kedu Pirush Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds that Melechas Cholomoed is only Asur Midrabanan. So it sounds from here that there is a violation of Lifnei Iver, even when all you're causing them to violate is Nisur Drabanan, because what's the Kuti doing in the end of the day? He's doing Melechas Cholomoed. Melechas Cholomoed is only Drabanan. But then Tosus goes on to say, Aval Rav Rabbeinu Elchanan Hikshel Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, Shepirush Melechas Cholomoed Eina Asur Min HaTorah, Midam Perak Misha Hafach. Pasach Bava Vasiya Michal Moed, Lomi Bay Kamar, Lomi Bayim May Evlo Dasid Rabban El Filu Chalme Dasid Raisa. He says it's hard to understand Shitas Rabbin Tam that Melechas Chal Moed is Rabbanan. You have a Beferush Gemara Moed Katan that contrasts the Yisra Melech of an Avel and the Yisra Melech of Chal Moed. And the Gemara says, oh, you know what the difference is? The Yisra Melech of an Avel is only Drabbanan. The Yisra Melech of Chal Moed is Daraisa. So I don't even understand where Rabbin Tam begins his Shita to say that Melechas Chal Moed is only Drabbanan. So says Rabbeinu Tam, the kari le daraisa l'fi sheyesh la smachta min haTorah. Sometimes something will be called a daraisa, even though it's not really a daraisa, because there's an asmachta min haTorah. But really, it's a din drabanan. It's just that there's a pasuk that's an asmachta. So that's what we mean to say when the Gemara Moed Katan calls it in a daraisa or inami chalamoid yeshal ikur min haTorah dika lemigzar. There's at least a basis of Chalamoed, of the Rabbanan, when they asked Melechas Chalamoed, at least based it off of a Din Torah, which is the Yisr of Melecha on Yom Tov. But when it comes to the Yisr Melecha for an Avel, that's not even Iker Min HaTorah. It doesn't have any basis in the Dinei HaTorah whatsoever. So this is a major issue in Rishonim about what the status of Melechas Chalamoed. The Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Ches learns the Yisr of Melechas Chalamoed from many drashos, but there are a lot of heterim in Melechas Chol HaMoed that would seem to imply that it's not a Din D'Oraisa. Why is it Davra Avid Mutter? Why is it Tzorech HaMoed Mutter? If it's a real, you don't have such a thing on Shabbos and Yantif, that a Davra Avid is all of a sudden going to be Mutter, that a Tzorech HaMoed is all of a sudden going to be Mutter. So that's a Machlokas Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim learn that Melechas Chol HaMoed, like Rabbeinu Tam, is Asur Midrabanan, and the Chavim only Asur certain malachos, so they never asked the davar aved and others. All the drashos that we quote are only an asmachta, but many other rishonim disagree. Rashi and the Urayim and the Ramban, many other Rishonim say that the Yisra of Melechas Chol HaMoed is Nisa Daraisa. It's just Nimsa Hadavar al-Chachamim, that it was left up to the Chacham to be Koveya, which Melechos are included in the Daraisa, meaning unlike Shabbos and Yantif, where it's very clear exactly which Melechos HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to Aser, HaKadosh Baruch Hu left it up to the Chachamim to decide what's going to be included in the Yisra Daraisa. Something like a Shud between HaKadosh Baruch and the Chachamim in being magdir the Isurim of Chol HaMoed. So the Chachamim were Kaveya, all of these chilukim that we don't normally have. So that's where Tosus begins by saying, oh, if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, so then you have our, it's Muchach from our Sugya that Lifnei Iver would apply even on a Din D'Rabbanan. Tosus Maseches Chagiga and the Rosh and the Maseches Moed Katan say that Melechus Chol Moed is an Asmachta from the pshat of the pasuk, and therefore it's something that tzedukim would be modeba, and that's why it's like a din da'oraisa over here. Meaning, not stam that melachas chol moed is more chamor because it has an asmachta. No, there's a specific. Normally, lifnei iver on a drabanan maybe would be fine, but over here you're causing them to do what they believe is a da'oraisa. Meaning, you're dealing with a kuti, and the kuti believes that it's a real din da'oraisa because we have the asmachta from the pasuk. The Ramban takes as a davar pasuk that there's no isur of lifnei iver and nisa drabanan, and he proves from here that melechus chol moed must be nisa daraisa, meaning otherwise there would be no isur of lifnei iver. Meaning it proves one way or the other. Like Tosa says, so you see that since it's drabanan, you see that there's nisa of lifnei iver and drabanan. Ramban says no, there's no isur of lifnei iver and drabanan. So must be melechus chol moed is daraisa. It has to go one way or the other. Now the Acharon raised the question that the Lechora, when there's a Kuti has another field to do the Malacha on Shabbos or Chol Moed or whatever, then it shouldn't be a violation of Lifnei Iver. The Gemara had said earlier in Daf Tezayin that someone who sells a behemoth to an Ovid Chavim and the Ovid Chavim has other behemoths, it's not a violation of Lifnei Iver, even if the Goy is makriv that behemoth to Avodah Zarah, because he could have been makriv a different behemoth to Avodah Zarah. So why don't we say the same thing by a field? That what? I'm giving him a field, why didn't the Gemara make a qualifier? If he has no other field, so then I'm violating Lifnei Iver. But if he has some other field, then it's not a violation of Lifnei Iver. So Turi Evan suggests that Dafka by Behema level Dezara, we say that it's not Lifnei Iver, because he only needs one animal for Avod Dezara. But by a field, the more fields he has, the better. He wants to work all of them. He wants to get all of his fields going on Shabbos. Now, once we're on the topic of Lifnei Iver, there is a major discussion when it comes to Lifnei Iver, if someone's Machshil someone on a Derabban, right? So we have this Machlokes Rishonim, is there Lifnei Iver on a Derabban? So let's say there is. So you cause someone to violate an Isser Derabbanan, right? You were the cause of his violation of Isser Derabbanan. Is that itself a violation of Lifnei Iver Midaraisa? Meaning he's only violated Derabbanan. Did you just violate Lifnei Iver Midaraisa because he's violated Isser Derabbanan? Do we say, no, I only did the Lifnei Iver the Avera. My Avera can't be worse than his Avera. So that's a discussion. The Chidush HaRan writes, someone who's Machshel Nisid Rabbanan is in violation of Lifnei Iver only on a Derabbanan level. So when Chaschinuch says, you know, from Tosas it sounds like it's an Isser Da'oraisa for this Tosas, Tepuk, it's an Isser Da'oraisa to be Machshil someone even in an Isser Da'oraisa. The reason is, someone who gives an Eitz Hashem Ogenes is in violation of Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is not only about causing someone to do an Avera. If I give bad advice, it's an Isser Lifnei Iver Mina Torah. Well, isn't it bad advice to get someone to do an Isser Da'oraisa? So it's Lo Garam Eitz Hashem. It's no worse than bad advice. It would be an Isser of Lifnei Iver Mina Torah. The Chidush HaRan also explains the kash of our Gemara here. Why does Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar ask him Yishamar Zayin? This is only when the Kuti is doing Malacha. At the time you were masking the Sada, you already violated Lifnei Iver. So the Yad Malachi has a suffix. Let's say you give a Kosi Ayin the Nazir, and the Nazir doesn't actually drink the wine. Did you violate Lifnei Iver? I mean, is Lifnei Iver din in the Maisa that I did Lifnei Iver, or is it no, that I have a Shutvus in his Isser, only if he actually drinks the wine. So that's only if he actually does the Isser. So that, these two shailas may be very much related to each other. How do we view Lifnei Iver? Is Lifnei Iver that I take a chelek in his Avera? So it would have to be that my Isser can't be any greater than his Isser because I'm just getting a chelek in his Avera. And it would have to be that he actually ends up doing the Avera. Or is it, no, not that I took a chelek in his Avera. There's a separate Isser called Lifnei Iver. Regardless of what's going on in his religious life, I'm not allowed to do a maisa of Lifnei Iver, which would mean that even if he only violates the Drabanan, I might be in violation of a Daraisa. And it would mean that even if he doesn't end up doing anything, he ends up overcoming his Yetzer Hara and not violating the Isser, I still might have violated the Isser of Lifnei Iver Midaraisa. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Hanu Marikai. There were these people who planted gardens and the guy took, there were two sharecroppers, a Jew and a non-Jew, that took over this garden for planting, and the Ovid Chavim would take it on Shabbos. He would do all the work on Shabbos. Yisrael b'chad b'shabata, and the Jew would do all the work on Sunday. Also, kamei d'Rava, they came to Rava to ask a shayla, is this okay? Can such an arrangement work out that the two of them together in their business, their resource business, they're going to take over the field for 7 days a week, but the guy will do all the Shabbos work, the Jew will do all of the Sunday work. So they came to Rava, Sharaluhu. Rava said, totally mutter, it's fine. Eisfei Ravina l'Rava, so Ravina challenged Rava. Yisrael v'avicham shekiblu sada b'shutfus. If you have Yisrael and Avicham that accept the field b'shutfus to work on it. Lo yomar Yisrael Ovid Chavim tol chelkecha b'shabbos v'ani b'chol. The Jew is not allowed to tell the Ovid Chavim, you take your portion on Shabbos, I'll take mine on the weekday. Vim hisnu mitchila mutter, only if they made it tonight at the very outset that was going to be the responsibility of the Jew was only going to be for Sundays, the responsibility of the guy was only going to be for Shabbos. So it's not that they both had a shared responsibility for both days, and the guy is taking care of the Jew's Shabbos responsibility, and the Jew is taking care of the guy's Sunday responsibility. No, me'ikara, the tonight was that the guy will take care of Shabbos, the Jew will take care of Sunday. The Jew never had a Shabbos responsibility. Only then it's going to be mutter. But vimbo l'cheshbon, if they didn't make a tanai mitchila, it's just afterwards. They've been doing this. The guy's been working all the Shabbos days. The Jew's been working all the Sunday days, and then they work it out at the end. Okay, what was the what's your rightful take home pay for all your Shabbos work? What's my rightful take home pay for all this? But it was after it was already done. Usser, that's going to be usser. But the kasha really on Rava is just from the very first line that if they didn't make a tanai mitchila, it's usher to have such an arrangement. So why does Rava say it's okay? Ichsif. Rava was embarrassed when they pointed out that he's against a Beferish Abraisa. L'sofu gloi milsa dihisnu meyikara havu. But then it turned out that the case where Rava was dealing with was a case of hisnu meyikara. So they actually had that heter, that they made the tanai in the first place. Rav gavia mi beikasil amr hanu shasili da'arla hava avichavim achal shnei da'ar v'yisrael as he says, no, you got the story all wrong. It wasn't about Shabbos, and it was about an Arla tree. It was about a newly planted tree. And the case was that the Ovid Chavim took the fruits from the first 3 years, which were all Arla, and the Jew took the fruits for the next 3 years, which are no longer Arla. Asul kamei d'Rava, they asked Rava that shayla and sharalahu, and that Rava said is going to be mutter. So they and why was it mutter? So says Rashi, the heter gamur hava, that there's no shayla over there. That's absolute heter. Da afal gav de kiblu a yachad lechatchila v'amlo Yisrael haya ata Ovid begimel shanim alalva ani gimel achreim. Meaning when you take the Arla tree and the guy works it for 3 years and the Jew for 3 years, that's not shlichus to Yisrael. Nami shari la'ovda. There's no isser of being oved an Arla tree. You plant a tree, you're allowed to do whatever you want to help it grow and to make it grow. There's no isser in doing that. What? You're concerned that the Jew is eating the years 4 through 6, and that's as if he's being compensated for the fruits of years 1 through 3. So what? That's called that he's getting hana'a from the Arla Shemachran. That's not being nana from the Arla. The normal arrangement is the years that you work the tree, you benefit from its fruits. So the guy is the one that's working the tree the first 3 years, he benefits from its fruits. The Jew's the one that works it for year 4 through 6, so he benefits from the fruits in years 4 through 6. That's not he's being nana from the Arla, he's being nana from his own fruits in years 4 through 6. So of course Rava was matir. You see, the previous version of this story where it related to Shabbos, Rava was saying a very big chiddush, that even though it seems like the guy is doing the shlichus of the Yisrael to work the field on Shabbos, that Rava was still matir. That's a huge chiddush, and that's why Rava was embarrassed, because we asked on him from a brisa. But in this version of the story, what Rava said is clear and obvious. Of course a Jew is allowed to enjoy the Arla the fruits that are not Arla in years 4 through 6. So frankly, Mara, but then how do you understand the hemshach of the story? Va'osvei Ravina l'Rava. But didn't Ravina go and ask a kasha and rava from the brisa? How's that a kasha and rava from the brisa at all? If it's not at all in a situation of shlichus, the brisa was talking about a Shabbos situation. It says, well, the CACIA. No, he wasn't asking a kasha and rava from the brisa. He was bringing a siyua to Rava from the Brisa, that don't worry about the fact that you're enjoying the fruits. It's not called that, meaning from the fact that the Brisa gave a heter of Histnu Mitchila. What does Histnu Mitchila do if they make a Tanai to begin with? What that accomplishes is that the Jew has no connection to the Shabbos work done in the field. Ah, so too by the Orla. The Jew has no connection to the Orla work done on this tree. Their deal to begin with was, the guy works the early years, the Jew works the non-early years. So it was a Raya to Rava. Says Gemara, oh, if it was a Raya to Rava, why would Rav have gotten embarrassed at the end of the story if all we did was Rav gave a psak and we said, oh, you're taka right, we have a brisa just like you? How do you explain his embarrassment? Says Gemara, I'll explain it by saying lohay dvar me'olam, it never happened. That's a made up part of the story. That is fake news, as they say today. So yibayilhu stamamai. So what's the halacha if we spoke about a case where hisnu mitchila, they made a clear tanai to begin with, and we said that's going to be mutter. And we spoke about a case that bo l'cheshbon, that they made no tanai afterward. They didn't make any tanai to begin with, but afterwards they came to the cheshbon and said, okay, you take the Shabbos, I'll take the Sunday, and that was problematic. What if they just stam? They didn't say anything. So what's the halacha going to be? So says Gemara, well, Tashma im hisnu mitchila mutter. It says im hisnu mitchila mutter. The diuk therefore should be hastama aser. That in the case of stama it should be aser. It says, well, yeah, but ema seifa im bo lecheshbon aser. Doesn't that imply hastama mutter? Elamehal lekel mishma mina. We have no raya one way or the other. From the brisa, you can't prove anything from the brisa because it's a competing diyukim that you have in the brisa. So what does that do for us in terms of how we pass on halacha l'maisa? So Rabbeinu Chananel writes la halacha we aser b'stam because it's nisa dar raisa. So safik dar raisa l'chumra. The Rosh says that since the safik was not nispashit in the Gemara, we should be mekel because it's nisa drabanan and safik drabanan l'kula. The whole issue over here is not an issue on the dar raisa level, only on a drabanan level. The Ran also says it's an issue on a drabanan level, so safik drabanan l'kula. However, the Ran points out that it's interesting. The Rif leaves out the Gemara suffix about stam, and he just writes, if hisnu mitchila mutter. So the Rif leaves us to be medayek that anything short of hisnu mitchila is going to be asr, which makes it sound like stam is going to be asr. The Rambam also in the sixth paragraph of Hilch Shabbos says the same. Hisnu mitchila is going to be mutter, but doesn't say that stam is mutter, which implies that stam is going to be asr. Why would you say such a thing? So the Ran explains that what the Rif and the Rambam must assume is that in the first lashon of the Gemara, where the Maisa of Rava was Hanu Mari Kai, it was a situation of Shabbos, and we asked on Rava from the Brisa that Lo Leomer Yisrael, Rava ended up being embarrassed. In the mice of the Murikai, the guy worked on Shabbos stam, so it makes it sound like the stam is aser. In the Hemshah of the Gemara, the suffix remains whether the issue of stam was the Hemshah of the Gemara that has a suffix about stam was only within the second lashon of the mice of Rava, where the mice was not about Shabbos at all. So since the first lashon of the Gemara aser b'stam, the second lashon of the Gemara was in the the first lashon of the Gemara didn't report who was telling the story. The second lashon of the Gemara reported Rav Gavia telling the story. So the Rif and the Rambam says, which is the more authoritative version of the story is the first lashon of the Gemara. The first lashon of the Gemara assumes stam is aser. That's the way we're going to paskin. Meaning, even though the Gemara leaves it as a suffix, it's only a suffix within the second lashon. The second lashon is a das yachid. We don't paskin like the second lashon. Another issue, a side issue that comes up over here, Tosfos Rabbeinu Elchanan points out that the halacha is, what do you do with peros of arla? So aser b'anan, you have to burn them. If over here they have a shutfus of Yisrael and a guy where they were not histam mitchila, so the peros grew berushus Yisrael, and there's a chi of sreifa. That's beferish in the Gemara Tamur daflam gimel. So how could it be that the Yisrael is allowed to have the guy eat those peros if the Jew has a responsibility to see to it that they get burnt? So Tosha ben Elchanan suggests that in Arlas Chutzlaretz there's no chi of sreifa, because we find many kulas by Arlas Chutzlaretz because that's only betara suffix, because Sugyan Kiddushin tells us. Ori says that since the Yisrael didn't do anything to those trees during the early years, he never became the owner of those fruits. Meaning, yeah, he has a chiv sreifa on his own Arla fruits, but something that he had no kinyan on, there was nothing that ever made him the owner of the Arla fruits, that would not be an issue of any sort of chiv sreifa. Okay, so let's see the next parak now. So, Hadron Alech L'fnei Dayan, now we move on to Ein Ma'amidin. So says the Mishnah, Ein Ma'amidin Behema B'Pundachal Shalov D'Kchavim. One is not allowed to leave a Behema overnight by a Ovid Chavim, because they're chashud to engage in bestiality with the animal. A woman can't be alone with the Ovid Chavim either, because there's a chashad of arayos when a woman is alone with the Ovid Chavim. And a man is not allowed to be alone with the Ovid Chavim, because there's a concern of shvichas damim. Now our Gemara is only going to talk about in today's daf the first of those Yisurim, that you're not allowed to leave the Behema. In the Sefer Das Yehonasan, he raises the question, the Gemara said earlier in Daf Vavim Beis, that there's no Isra of Lifnei Iver, if the guy could have done the Avera anyway without you. So why over here, when you give a Behema to a guy, did you violate Lifnei Iver? The guy could violate the Isra Revia without you. He has other Behemos. So we suggested that no, who says he's going to satisfy his Yetzer Hara with one Behema? Each Maisa that he does is a separate Isser. So yeah, he might do Revia with one Behema and the Behema that you give him. So that's why it would be a violation of Lifnei Iver. But the major kasha that we show to mask is we tend to do this all the time. I mean, we don't have animals so much anymore, but I guess some people do. Someone asked me the other day. They said that a Rebbe in a day school type said there's a student in his class that has a pig, a pet pig, not a guinea pig, a pet pig. So is there any isser to have a pet? Okay, so you have, I guess some people have like these kinds of animals. So it will be a shear for a different time. So the Rishonim raised the question that if a person has a behema, why is it that nowadays kiseder people give a behema to Gayim and no one's choshesh for the isser that it says in the Mishnah? So they give a couple of tirutzim. The Ravan suggests that the isser is only shayach when the behema is in the reshus of the Gay at nighttime as well. Nowadays we give to a non-Jewish shepherd to take care of our animals, but he's got to bring it back at night. And that, there's no isser at night, there's no isser during the day, the isser is only at night. Rabbeinu Tam suggests that we pass on like Rabbi Pedas, the Gemara is going to say later on, Daf Chav Gimel, who holds our Mishnah's Choshesh L'Revia, follows the sheet of Rabbi Lazar, who holds that way in the second parak of Maseches Parah. But the Rabbanan disagree with this entire chash, so our entire Mishnah is Shalok HaLacha, it's Machlokas Tanah, and we don't pass on like our Mishnah. Tosas Shans and the Kolbo suggest that we pass on like Rav in the Gemara, who holds that the Yisra of giving a behemoth to a guy is only when the Goyim are Chashudim al Revia. Bismanenu, the Goyim don't do that anymore. So it's mutter to give them behemos. Many Rishonim suggest that Bismanenu, the Goyim would have laws against this, and they would punish someone who they caught committing Revia. So that's why it's not a concern anymore, because they would enforce it on their own not to allow it. But then we mentioned a second issue, that a woman is not allowed to be alone with the guy. Why? Why can't it with the Ovid Chavim? Because he is going to Shechashudin al Arayos. It makes it sound like because the Ovid Kuchavim is Chashud al Arayos, and he's going to be in violation of an issue. And what about the woman? Is she not also in violation of an Isser? Sarav Shlomo Kluger discusses in Avodas Avod, he says, is this an Isser of Lifnei Iver for the woman? That she's just, it's a Lifnei Iver, what she's causing the Ovid Chavim to do, but for her there's no Isser at all? So he says, it has to be that it's an Isser for her as well, that it's maybe the Deitakala. You know how we know that? Because if it were only an issue of Lifnei Iver, it should have said, Upipnuya Hitiru. We should have said that if she's not an Isser, it's Mutter, because it's only an Isser of Arayos for the Ovid Chavim if he's with a Aneishas Ish, but if he's with a Paniyah, there's no Isser for an Ovid Chavim to sleep with a Jewish woman. The Isser is on the Jewish woman, not an Isser for an Ovid Chavim. So that's why it has to be that the Isser is on her as well. And then we had that third halacha in the Mishnah, that a man shouldn't be alone with the Ovid Chavim because he's Chashal and Shvichas Damim. So that's a machlokas in the Achronim, whether the Isser is Nispatel Bismanenu, because nowadays, like we said, the Goyim have laws against this, and they will punish people who murder other people. And the Chavis Yair disagrees. He says, says, yeah, laws come and go and they change and societal norms change, so we're not going to be mevatel gzeros just because the law may have changed in a given society. So says Mar Urminhu, we said that you're not allowed to trust an Ovid Chabon with a behemoth because he's kosher on Revia, but I'll ask you that it's against the Brisa. You're allowed to buy from an Ovid Chavim an animal for a carbon. And that's the key line for us. You don't have to worry that the behemoth was roveya or nirva, which would possibly from a carbon. You don't have to worry that it was in some way muktza. Muktza over here in this context means designated for avodah zarah, and you don't have to worry that it was neva, that it was actually worshipped for avodah zarah. There's a machlokas rishonim what it would take to make an animal muktza. Rashi says haktza means not that you want to make it an avodah zarah, but you want to use it for tekrovas avodah zarah. Not you, the guy wants to use it for tekrovas avodah zarah, and that haktza is just done with dibur alone. You don't have to actually do any maisa, just so that he says, oh, I'm going to use that animal as a carbon for avodah zarah. Tosos disagrees. Tosos writes haktza is litzorach to krovus of avodah zarah, but it has to be al yidei maisa on the chayfetz itself. You have to do something to it, that you give the behemah to the mesharsei avodah zarah, and they give it certain foods that they were mishtachve to them l'shem avodah zarah. But stam, to just say, oh, I designate this animal to krovus avodah zarah, that wouldn't do it, that wouldn't be enough. And then the third sheet is the sheet of Mi'iri. Mi'iri quotes a sheet of Saravid in the Rami Misur Mizbeach, Perek Dalet, Alecha Dalet, that's mechalik whether miyachid behemah l'tzorach to krovus avodah zarah, that would require a maisa. But if you're miyachid behemah to be the avodah zarah, that wouldn't require maisa. That would just be words alone. So whatever muktza is, but the bottom line for us is not about the muktza. We're not worried about roveya and nirva, even though you gave it to an akum. So why is it that we're not worried about roveya and nirva? So says the Gemara, Bishlam a muktza v'nevad. I understand we're not worried about muktza and nevad imisa daksiv imisa depachli lo avmazbenle. Because if he actually designated this for a zavad zarah, he wouldn't be selling it to you. Ela roveya v'nirva lechush, but roveya and nirva, that should be something that we're takachoshish for, because he would still sell it to you even after he's been roveya and nirva. So the Rishonim are bothered, because there do seem to be many places in the Gemara where goyim sell their own avodah zarah. So it could be that they would sell their avodah zarah, but if he has multiple behemos, this is what the Ravan writes, that if he has multiple behemos, he's not going to sell the avodah zarah behema first. So you don't have to be choshesh that the one that he sold you, if he's got others, is the avodah zarah one. But it's not that they're so religious that they wouldn't sell their avodah zarah. But certainly he would sell an animal that he was roveo nirva. So why is it that you're allowed to buy from him a korban without a chashash of roveo nirva if they're really choshed on such things? So we're only going to have one answer in today's daf, and that is the following: Amar Rav Tachlif, Amar Rav Shila, Baravina, Mishmei Derav. He's not going to be roveya his own animal. He'll be roveya someone else's animal, because it will cause the animal to become an akara. The animal will not be able to have offspring after that, and that's a major loss of money. If he owns that animal is not able to produce other animals, he wouldn't take such a risk. So it says Mar Hatenach, Nekevos, Zechara Ma'itel Neymar, happens to be just a fascinating question. Tos Chachmei Anglia says, if every time a man is roveya an animal, the animal becomes an akara, you know, there's a medrash that tells us that Adam Arishon couldn't figure it out when the world was first created, which one of these was meant for him. So he was boel, every single animal. So the Tos Chachmei Anglia says, how are there animals in the world? Every animal should have been, should have become an akara, that they weren't able to have children. So the Marsha says, he wasn't boel every single animal. What do we think Adam Arishon was? He examined, you know, whether what was matim for him. It was just an expression to say he was thinking, would that work? That would be ridiculous. It's not matim. It doesn't work. But not that he was actually boel every single animal. But that's not the answer Tosfos Chachmei Anglia gives. Tosfos Chachmei Anglia gives an answer that the chayos are not nekar, because Adam Arishon didn't have a gemar bia. He started the bia. He just didn't have a gemar bia, so they were not nekar from his maisa. But bottom line is, the gemara says over here that the guy is not going to do this to his own animal. Okay, hatenach nekevos. I understand he won't do it to his own animal because he doesn't want them to become an akara. That's his female animals. Zechara ma'ika lemeimar. But we can assume that he would do it to his male animals, So why is it that you're allowed to buy male animals from a guy for a carbon? Some Rav Kana hol machishim bebasar. It's not good for the male animals either. It will weaken their flesh, and they're not going to be valued as much. But didn't we say that you're allowed to buy a behema from the roa, from the shepherd of the Ovid Chavin? So shouldn't we be concerned? The shepherd, he's not the owner of the animals. Shouldn't we be choshesh that the shepherd was roveh of the animals? Roa shalem misari mishum hefsitzchar. No, he doesn't want to get caught because then he's not going to get paid. So you don't have to worry that the shepherd's doing anything. Allah d'tanya in mosin behema l'roa shalahen leim roa shalem misari mishum hefsitzcharo. Well, if the roa is never going to do anything to the animals because he's afraid of not getting paid, why is there an isser for a Jew to give a roa ovid kachavim their animals? He's not going to do anything. He's afraid he's not going to get paid. Says no. Inu diyadi badadi miratzi. The Ovdei Kechavim, who are familiar with each other's behaviors, so the Roa knows that if he's taking a behemoth of an Ovid Kechavim, that he could get caught, because the Ovid Kechavim will be on to him. He knows how he works. But we, who don't really know what's going on in the culture of Ovdei Kechavim, he's not going to be afraid that we're going to catch him. That's the way some Rishonim said. Other Rishonim say that, no, he's afraid that the Ovid Kechavim will catch him, because they live amongst Ovdei Kechavim. But Jews live in their own little shtetl. They don't live anywhere near the Ovdei Kechavim. So chances of us walking in on him while he's in the middle of the Maisa with the behema are much, much slimmer. So he's willing to take the risk. That the marble could be cut by the very, very sharp implement, meaning two things that are very, very strong are something very hard is worried about something very strong, which means two like kinds have to be worried about each other. It's an expression to say that the goyim know, the Ovdei Kechavim know to be worried about each other because they know the tricks that the other one would be up to. Frakta Gemara Ihachi Zecharim Min Kevos Lo Nizbon Techashin Nedilma Meravale Ilava. We shouldn't buy male animals from female Ovdei Kechavim because we should have to be choshesh that she brought the male on her. Meaning, what was the whole reason why we're allowed to buy male animals from male Ovdei Kechavim? Because we think that he wouldn't do anything to the male animal. He wouldn't be boel the male animal because it will ruin the male animal in some way. But the male animal will not get ruined by being boel a human being. So by a female human being and a male animal, we should be choshesh that maybe she did something. No, she wouldn't do anything because kiven de migri ba mirtsa. She's afraid to do something like that because if the male animal is boel her, he's never going to leave her alone for the rest of her, wherever she walks. He's going to be walking right next to her, and everyone's going to be talking. Why is that animal acting so strangely toward that human being? So it's going to be embarrassed. She's not going to do that. Ela hadetani Rav Yosef armata lo tar bikalba. But wait, Rav Yosef taught a halacha that an almana should not raise a dog. Velo tishri bar be rav bu ushpiza. Nor should she host a Talmud Chacham to stay at her house. Bishlam a Barbe Rav Tzaniyala. I understand Barbe Rav, because if they were to do something, it would be Tzanua, no one's going to say anything. But according to what we're saying, that once there's bestiality between a female human and an animal, a male animal, that animal is going to make life very embarrassing for that female human, because the animal is always going to be following along. So why are we concerned about the almana with the dog? So it says more, kivim dechishad yilei umtza masu chabasu, meimar amri inchi, haide misu chabasu, mishum umtza dekamasu. To get a dog to follow along and to act extra friendly, you just need to throw it a little bit of meat. So people are going to see this dog, they're not going to assume that the woman was with this dog, they're going to assume that she gave it some meat, that she's been feeding this dog, that the old lady, the almana, has been feeding the dog. Well, why can't there be yichud between two nekevos of the kachavim, nekeva of the kachavim and nekeva behema? Why is that aser? Because of the kachavim very often by their friends' wives. And one time, it could be the kachavim will come and he's not going to find his friend's wife. Umotzi has a behema, but the behema will be there. So Varova, he'll satisfy himself with the behema. Or another possibility, even if he does find her, the wife, he'd still be Roveh of the Behema. They prefer the behema of Yisrael more than they prefer their own wives. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, where does that come from? So Rabbi Yochanan explains that that desire comes from the following. B'shah Shabbat Nachash al Chava, when the Nachash was Baal Chava, Hitl Bazuama, he implanted Zuama in Chava, so humankind has this Zuama that causes a desire for animals. Ihachi Yisrael Nami. So how come Jews don't have that desire for animals if humankind has this Zuama? Says Mar Yisrael Sham Dal Har Sinai, Paska Zuamasan. Klal Yisrael, when they stood by Har Sinai, the Zuama ended. Of the Chavim Shalom Dal Har Sinai, Lo Paska Zuamasan. But of the Chavim never had the Har Sinai experience, so the Zuama never ended. Some of the Rishonim suggest that that's why we say in the Haggadah that Ilu Kirvanu L'Fnei Har Sinai V'Lanasan Lanu Esetara Dayenu, because Kirvanu L'Fnei Har Sinai was Paska Zuamasan. It was at least enough to take away that animal instinct from a human being. So that alone is worth it. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos adds that Ein Lam Zuama, even and even if they themselves weren't at Har Sinai, the Gemara Shabbos adds, and what about Geirim? Geirim weren't at Har Sinai, so the Gemara Shabbos says, yeah, even though they weren't at Har Sinai, Mazalam was at Har Sinai, so they don't have the Zuama either, which is fine, except Tosus over here says that same Chiddush without crediting it to the Gemara in Shabbos. So Beferuk Shor Gemara in Shabbos Tosus says, oh, by the way, I have a Chiddush. A Ger doesn't have Zuama because their Mazal was at Har Sinai. So that's what the Achron work on, that whether it's true or not, whether the Geirim have the Zuama. No, they all agree, but why Tosus would say it as a Chiddush when it's really a Beferusha Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at Ibayiluhu.